Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question-and-answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, I invite you to join with me as we face the issues, as we have this program Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock each afternoon. Facing the issues. Let's face the issues. That's a challenge to me, and I pray that it is to you, because so many people today simply are avoiding the issues and somehow, some way, having the mindset and the philosophy that if we don't talk about the issues, if we don't say anything about them, they'll just go away. Some have the mindset and the philosophy that as Christians, we just need to read the Bible and nothing else. We need to talk about nothing but Jesus, and we should not have any discussion about any issue. There's some that have the feeling and the position that it is sinful, it's wrong. If you talk about the issues in life, and somehow, some way, it'll just make everything go away and be beautiful, and there'll be no problems and difficulties, etc. Well, I've studied the Bible from cover to cover. I can't say that I know it all, but I am familiar with the scripture and the principles and the philosophies and the theology and the doctrines that's taught there. And I do know that there's not any place in the scripture that we find that Christians, believers, are to be silent on the issues. If we're going to be salt and light, we need to face them. And as we face the issues, we do so armed with truth. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, we are going to confront issues, and we're going to do so based on the authority of the Word of God. This is a listener participation program. You can call in and jump in at any point, any place with discussion that you would like to redirect, or ask questions about some theological, doctrinal, biblical, philosophical, political issue that you would like for us to have dialogue and discussion on. You can do so by calling us at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Join in the discussion, ask your question, and allow us to have a dialogue in relationship to it. We may not agree. That's all right. But we're not going to be disagreeable in our disagreement. And by the way, while I am thinking of it, let me remind us of the invitation to you, our listener, to join us Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night for First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located on 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, exactly 1 mile south of I-295. Our Sunday morning Bible study hour, Sunday school, is at 9:30. The morning worship's at 10:45, and then Sunday afternoon at 7 o'clock. We're the traditional, worship program church. We believe in the old gospel hymns that have meaning and relevance, that have biblical foundation, that stirs the heart and prepares the heart to receive the Word of God. And then the preaching is from the pulpit. As we preach, it is simply based on the authority of the Scripture, in context, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, doing the word study, the outline, the presentation, and then the application and for each of our lives. And may I invite us to come any of those worship times, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then on our special midweek Bible study and fellowship mealtime at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. You're invited as our listening audience. And may I simply say that we as Christians and as a nation, we need to be in prayer for our nation. We need to pray that God will relieve us, will deliver us, will protect us from what we see as the uprising or the increasing anarchy in our nation. Another shooting today with 9 injured in a strip shopping mall in Houston, Texas. And may I remind us, I don't know about you, but I've never seen this in my lifetime, with the constant continuum of the tearing down and destroying the warp and woof of society. Warp and woof simply means the fabric of society. We're tearing down and destroying the fabric of our society. There's anarchy on every hand. There seems to be the philosophy, as found in the Scripture, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. And may I remind us, the end result of that is the destruction of our constitutional way of life, our rule of law. And we're watching that when so many people have the philosophy that if I don't like the outcome of a judicial decision, if I don't like the outcome of what is taking place, I'm going to just get in the streets and I'm going to pollute, I'm going to pillage, I'm going to steal, I'm going to kill, I'm going to force my way on society. That is anarchy, and that is total chaos. And we need to pray that God will restore peace in our nation. And may I also say that we need to pray very seriously about the debate tonight at 9 o'clock. They're saying that some 100 million people will watch the debate. We're being told that it is the most historic debate in the history of America on the political scene. And I don't know about you, but I'm vitally interested in the direction that the debate goes. I'm vitally interested in the direction that the nation takes as a result of the November the 8th election that shall take place. If you're alive and well, if you're a registered voter, and I pray that you are, if you're not, shame on you. If you're a registered voter, I pray that you will, whether it's, as I use the old term, rain, sleet, or snow, that you'll be at the polls and vote. And if there's an early voting, and there will be, that you'll participate in that. And at the very latest, on November the 8th, vote. It is not just the right of a citizen, it is the responsibility of each of us as citizens of the United States of America. May I just introduce our subject by asking a few questions and making a few statements. You can call us now, ladies and gentlemen, at 401-1413, 401-1413. Today, I believe, as no other time in the history of America and perhaps the world, today, it seems that most people are interested in being successful. Most organizations are built around the ideology and the philosophy of organizational success. And in fact, there are companies, entire companies and organizations that are designed to allow you to pay a membership fee, and you can come in and be a part of the organization, and there'll be seminars and called in guests and speakers that will tell you how to be successful, how to be elevated in society, how to be in the management team, how to go from one level, one rung of the ladder to the next, how to make more money, how to reach out and grow your organization. And it's these organizations and companies designed to educate people, mold people, motivate people, train people on how to succeed. Now, perhaps you've taken some of those seminars. Perhaps you've studied some of the books. Perhaps you've read some of the manuals. Perhaps you've watched some of them by way of video or television. But may I remind us, we need to ask the question, what is success? And with that, what is prosperity? We have today an entire movement that is put in the category of the prosperity gospel. And may I remind us that the prosperity gospel is developed two or three misunderstood, misinterpreted text in the Scripture. We'll get to that in a moment. But we ask the question, what is success? I've researched it, and I've just jotted down a few responses from people down through the years. One person said, we're talking about now answering the question, what is success? We could link that with the term prosperity, which we'll talk about in a moment. What is success / prosperity? Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, you can call us at 401-1413. Join in the dialogue, the discussion. You can agree or disagree. One person said when asked the question, what is success? And I quote, I cannot really give a specific meaning of success, but I would say success is simple. Number one, reach to a place where your dreams are pointing to. Number two, it's when you get what you really wanted in life. Number three, it's when you triumph over your adversaries and your obstacles and all barriers in your life. End quote. We're asking the question, what is success? These are some answers that I've gathered. One other person said, to me, success is measured by the attainment of real joy or real happiness. End quote. One said, true success is measured by what you have left when you go to the grave. Unusual answer. Another person says, success is right standing with God. He is the giver of the peace that's really, really sought by all of humanity. What is peace? What is success? Another said that, well, success is getting all I can, getting all I can and canning all I can get, or something of that nature. We don't really, really understand success. What is success as God sees it? Many Christians today will advocate success in ministry. Many pastors struggle with what is called successful ministry, successful pastorate. Many measure it by the numbers and the money and the size of the ministry, the size of the organization, and how much money the organization takes in, or what size paycheck the pastor can receive. But does God view money and position and size of the organization as success? Ladies and gentlemen, if you can find any place in Scripture that will point to that, I'd love to be enlightened on it. I've studied the Scripture from Genesis through Revelation, and don't see anything that says that. In fact, when Jesus walked on this earth, Jesus, in 33 years of living, the Lord Jesus himself, was he successful? You bet your boots he was. He was successful, but he had only 12 people that followed him during his life on this earth. Jesus owned no home, contrary to what many that are by way of television and radio gospel prosperity preachers are saying. In fact, I listened to one preacher a few years ago that said if Jesus were walking on earth today, he'd be wearing a Botany 500 suit or a Lear Roth suit. He'd have a Rolex watch on his arm and be driving a Mercedes Benz. Well, you can have a philosophy like that if you want to, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not what you'd find in the Scripture. Jesus owned no home. He had no university degree. He was looked down upon. He came from a small town, a nobody person. He didn't have the credentials that people thought that ought to be had if you're going to be looked at with any sense of success. Perhaps a verse that is the most misunderstood, misquoted, abused text in all of the Bible is found in 3 John chapter 1, well, actually 3 John verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, where the Scripture says in 3 John, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when thy brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now that little word in that second verse, that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. The word there, prospereth or prosper, is two words in the Greek text pulled together. One is hodos, H-O-D-O-S, and the other is ou, E-U. The word hodos means road. Ou, E-U, in the Greek is good. So literally, the text is saying, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest have a good journey, a good road, a good journey. In fact, may I remind us, the Scripture says in this text, for him to be led along a good road, to have a safe road, to be successful in his journey, is what the scripture is saying. Has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with pocket full of gold coins, has nothing to do with being a manager or successful in a business endeavor, or having the prowess and the priority and the prestige that the world looks at as being successful. Has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Now, am I saying that to be prosperous and to be successful in life is wrong? Not on your life. I'm not saying that at all. But don't you dare take it from the scripture and say that's what that little two, three verses in 3 John is saying. It does not say that. There's a greater text in the scripture that elaborates on that a little more fully, that gives us a little better insight about that word, euhodos, a good journey, prosperous, successful. It's found in the book of Joshua, the first chapter. In fact, the unit of thought is the first 9 verses, and of course you understand our brief radio time does not allow us to elaborate on this text greatly. But simply put, we find in the first few verses that Moses has died. Joshua was Moses' understudy. Joshua was one that was a servant of Moses. He had been trained for all of these years, with Moses being the leader and the guide and the director in his life. Moses died, and you find the text picking up here after Moses' death. And you find then in verse 5 the promise to Joshua from God. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7 and 8 is the key to this text. And verse 9 wraps it up. Not only do we find here that he is giving him instructions and promising God's provision, presence, and power to be with him. But it says only. If I were to give you instructions, I want you to do this, this, and this, but then I make a statement, only do this, this, and this first. Only points into the direction of how the earlier statements are to be accomplished. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Notice now, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, euhodos, have a good journey, whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it may be that you are in a what you think is a doldrum job. It may be that you're in a position where you're at home as a mother and a housekeeper. You may or may not have academic credentials. But if you're where God has placed you and you've been obedient to the directions of God for being successful and having prosperity in the biblical sense, then you are the most successful person in the world. A number of years ago, I was doing a radio broadcast very similar to this one, and I said, you may be a mother with twins or triplets at home where you're changing 2 dozen diapers a day, but you're the Christian homemaker, the Christian mother, the Christian wife that God will have you to be. I made the statement, I said, ladies and gentlemen, then this person, this dear mother, would be the most successful person that you could name. And yet some peers and some family members and others might say otherwise. And I didn't realize that I was speaking into the heart and life of a dear mother that I found out later was just rejoicing and overjoyed in the fact that she had been thinking that she was a failure, and that she had felt that somehow, some way, because of all of her friends and school buddies had that she had gone to school with, she had an earned credential, but they had gone up the ladder of success in the business world, professional world, and in the world of academia, and she had not. But I'm here to tell you that is success. Notice in this 5th verse, if you have your Bible, that's fine. If you're driving, just listen. Verse 5, there shall not be any man that shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. May I remind us, that is the commitment that is reminded. that commitment that God reminded Joshua was that his promised protection is there. There shall not be any man to stand before thee. That means there will not be defeat. Secondly, it was the promised presence. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. And as you know, God was with Moses. He provided the food, clothing, and shelter that he needed even in the desert. He had the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He had wherever clothing that did not wear out, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4. And there was also that promised power. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we're where God wants us to be, doing what God's called us to do, and as we'll see in a moment, the absolute biblical prescription, the absolute biblical text is found that gives us what we must do if we want to have God's success and God's prosperity, that is the uhodos, the good journey in our lives. God's promised protection, God's promised presence, God's promised power. But I want us to understand beyond that, there's a command that's revealed in that sixth verse. The sixth verse gives the command of what Joshua is to do in being strong and of good courage and dividing the land. But then in that seventh verse, there's a major, major, major study that I want to take a few moments, the next few minutes of this broadcast, to delve into, that I pray that it will be a challenge to you, an inspiration to you, a courage, encouragement to you that perhaps you've not heard ever before. Because these verses are generally so mangled with what is called glitz, glitter, gold, and glow that you can't find the truth in it. And there are multitudes today that will tell you that if you're a pastor, you've got to have a mega church. If you're a pastor, you've got to have 42 people on staff. If you're a pastor, you have all of these things done for you, and you simply don't find that to be the barometer of God's success any place in the scripture. You may be a pastor of a small church where you teach the Sunday school class yourself, you cut the grass yourself, you lead the singing yourself, then you preach the word, and God says you're successful and prosperous if you're honoring me and obeying me. Well, where do we find that? First of all, there's the command to practice the word. The scripture says in verse 7, we're in Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 verses of the unit of thought that we're looking at, and Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, first portion of that verse, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all, A-L-L, the law which Moses my servant commanded. By the way, that's found in the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 12 and following. Literally what the scripture saying is there's the command to practice the word. Do what God's word says. Not part of it, not some of it, but all of it. No picking and choosing. The word to observe means to read, to look, to study, to observe carefully. Many believers are trying to face the enemy, attempting to have victory and success without observing to do all that God's word tells us that we ought to do. And the second thing is commanded here is not only practice the word, but to pursue the word. What is the difference? Turn not from it. That's the word of God, to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Uhodos, have a good journey. Whithersoever thou goest, that is, stay in the word. Don't deviate from the word. Pursue what the word says. Don't be drawn away by the world, but follow the word. Too often we see those that have a half-truth or partial truth or partial scripture and attempt to build a doctrine or theology or a philosophical position based on a little fragment or a phrase or a half-truth or a half-scripture. It's the totality of the word of God. It is not only practice. We're talking about now the command that's given in scripture. In the Hebrew text, it's given in the imperative voice. That is a command. Practice the word. Pursue the word. And thirdly, the command is in that eighth verse in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and following. It is to proclaim or to publish the word. The scripture says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Literally, we are required, biblically speaking, to communicate what God's word says, proclaiming the word. That is to be a witness wherever we go. Place a tract in someone's hand. Put a gospel tract on the table when you have your lunch or dinner someplace in a restaurant. Share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Literally in Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, you can take the summary of that. It's part of the Great Commission text. While going, you disciple. That's the transliteration of the Hebrew Greek text. While going, you disciple. It's your responsibility and mine, ladies and gentlemen, to be salt and light. Salt and light is going to impact the world of darkness and impact the world of defeat and decay with the truth of the Word of God. We're to practice the Word. We're to pursue the Word. We're to proclaim the Word. Publish the Word. tell everybody that basically, as the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I remind us, it's what the Word says. We must know the Word, stay in the Word, communicate the Word to others. And by the way, this doesn't just mean where every day all you do is read a verse of Scripture and tell somebody to read a verse of Scripture. That is our lifestyle evangelism while going, you disciple. And part of that is being salt and light. Salt and light includes and inculcates in that statement that Jesus gave us in the Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. And that means getting out of the closet, getting into the world. And we're not in the world, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. We're aliens passing through, but it's Christian aliens passing through. God help us if we're not salt and light. God help us if we're not communicating the truth of the Word by confronting evil and wickedness and telling the truth of what God's Word says. You can call us at 401-1413 if you'd like to jump in on the last portion of this dialogue and discussion. If we're going to be successful, we're going to have a good journey, a good journey and prosperity in that journey. And that's not talking about numbers, nickels, and noses. It's not talking about glitz, glitter, silver, and gold. It's talking about the command that we see here to practice the Word, to pursue the Word, to proclaim the Word. And then fourthly, we're to ponder the Word. Verse 8, the latter portion. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice, how can we be obedient to the Word, meditate on the Word, ponder the Word, read the Word, inculcate the Word in our lives? Not just occasionally, not just a verse or two, not just on Sunday, but day and night, all the time, we're meditating in the Word. That empowers us, that encourages us, that strengthens us, that gives us answers for the issues that we're faced with in life. But notice very carefully in the latter portion of verse 8 and verse 9. For then, God says, for then thou shalt, notice, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When is this possible? It's after the then, after God's conditions have been met. God's conditions are to practice the Word, pursue the Word, proclaim the Word, and ponder the Word, and then, hear me well, then thou shalt have prosperous, thou shalt be prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. May I remind us, after we've practiced the Word, pursued the Word, proclaimed the Word, and pondered the Word, the very key to successful Christian living is found in the Word of God. As we study it, as we meditate on it, as we allow God to speak to our hearts and direct our lives, may I remind us, the source is God. Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, that is confused or disheartened, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. May I remind us that Joshua was prosperous. Joshua did have a successful journey. In Joshua 10:40, the scripture says, so Joshua smote all the country of the country of the hills and of the south and the vale and of the springs, and all the kings he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as God had commanded him to do. May I remind us, he was prosperous and successful because he was obedient to the Word of God. I pray that you'll be successful in God. I pray that you'll be obedient to His words, that He can give you a good journey. Hodas, as we serve the Lord. Thank you for listening today, and may God bless you until we meet again tomorrow at the same time.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality? Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.